All these agents are necessary, even though each can and should play its part in accordance with the special competence and contribution proper to itself. 104. The educational role of the Christian family therefore has a very important place in organic pastoral work. This involves a new form of cooperation between parents and Christian communities, and between the various educational groups and pastors. In this sense, the renewal of the Catholic school must give special attention both to the parents of the pupils and to the formation of a perfect educating community. The right of parents to choose an education in conformity with their religious faith must be absolutely guaranteed. The state and the church have the obligation to give families all possible aid to enable them to perform their educational role properly. Therefore, both the church and the state must create and foster the institutions and activities that families justly demand, and the aid must be in proportion to the family's needs. However, those in society who are in charge of schools must never forget that the parents have been appointed by God Himself as the first and principal educators of their children, and that their right is completely inalienable. But corresponding to their right, parents have a serious duty to commit themselves totally to a cordial and active relationship with the teachers and the school authorities. If ideologies opposed to the Christian faith are taught in the schools, the family must join with other families, if possible through family associations, and with all its strength and with wisdom help the young depart from the faith. In this case, the family needs special assistance from pastors of souls, who must never forget that parents have the inviolable right to entrust their children to the ecclesial community. Manifold service to life. 41. Fruitful married love expresses itself in serving life in many ways. Of these ways, begetting and educating children are the most immediate, specific, and irreplaceable. In fact, every act of true love towards a human being bears witness to and perfects the spiritual fecundity of the family, since it is an act of obedience to the deep inner dynamism of love as self-giving to others. For everyone, this perspective is full of value and commitment, and it can be an inspiration in particular for couples who experience physical sterility. Christian families, recognizing with faith all human beings as children of the same Heavenly Father, will respond generously to the children of other families, giving them support and love not as outsiders, but as members of the one family of God's children. Christian parents will thus be able to spread their love beyond the bonds of flesh and blood, nourishing the links that are rooted in the Spirit and that develop through concrete service to the children of other families, who are often without even the barest necessities. Christian families will be able to show greater readiness to adopt and foster children who have lost their parents or have been abandoned by them. Rediscovering the warmth of affection of a family, these children will be able to experience God's loving and provident fatherhood witnessed to by Christian parents, and they will thus be able to grow up with serenity and confidence in life. At the same time, the whole family will be enriched with the spiritual values of a wider fraternity. Family fecundity must have an unceasing creativity, a marvelous fruit of the Spirit of God, who opens the eyes of the heart to discover the new needs and sufferings of our society and gives courage for accepting them and responding to them. A vast field of activity lies open to families today. Even more preoccupying than child abandonment is the phenomenon of social and cultural exclusion, which seriously affects the elderly, the sick, the disabled, drug addicts, Exodus prisoners, etc. This broadens enormously the horizons of the parenthood of Christian families. These and many other urgent needs of our time are a challenge to their spiritually fruitful love with families, and through them, the Lord Jesus continues to have compassion on the multitudes. 3. Participating MINTHE Development OF Society. The family as the first and vital cell of society. 42. Since the Creator of all things has established the conjugal partnership as the beginning and basis of human society, the family is the first and vital cell of society. 105. The family has vital and organic links with society, since it is its foundation, and nourishes it continually through its role of service to life. It is from the family that citizens come to birth, and it is within the family that they find the first school of the social virtues that are the animating principle of the existence and development of society itself. Thus, far from being closed in on itself, the family is by nature and vocation open to other families and to society, and undertakes its social role. Family life as an experience of communion and sharing. 43. The very experience of communion and sharing that should characterize the family's daily life represents its first and fundamental contribution to society. The relationships between the members of the family community are inspired and guided by the law of free giving, by respecting and fostering personal dignity in each and everyone as the only basis for value. This free giving takes the form of heartfelt acceptance, encounter, and dialogue, disinterested availability, generous service, and deep solidarity. Thus, the fostering of authentic and mature communion between persons within the family is the first and irreplaceable school of social life, and example and stimulus for the broader community relationships marked by respect, justice, dialogue, and love. The family is thus, as the Synod Fathers recalled, the place of origin and the most effective means for humanizing and personalizing society. It makes an original contribution in depth to building up the world by making possible a life that is properly speaking human, in particular by guarding and transmitting virtues and values. As the Second Vatican Council states, in a family, the various generations come together and help one another to grow wiser and to harmonize personal rights with the other requirements of social living. 106. Consequently, faced with a society that is running the risk of becoming more and more depersonalized and standardized, and therefore inhuman and dehumanizing, with the negative results of many forms of escapism such as alcoholism, drugs, and even terrorism, the family possesses and continues still to release formidable energies capable of taking man out of his anonymity, keeping him conscious of his personal dignity, enriching him with deep humanity, and actively placing him in his uniqueness and unrepeatability within the fabric of society. The social and political role. 44. The social role of the family certainly cannot stop short at procreation and education, even if this constitutes its primary and irreplaceable form of expression. Families, therefore, either singly or in association, can and should devote themselves to manifold social service activities, especially in favor of the poor, or at any rate, for the benefit of all people and situations that cannot be reached by the public authority's welfare organization. The social contribution of the family has an original character of its own, one that should be given greater recognition and more decisive encouragement, especially as the children grow up and actually involving all its members as much as possible. 107. In particular, note must be taken of the ever greater importance in our society of hospitality in all its forms, from opening the door of one's home, and still more of one's heart, to the pleas of one's brothers and sisters, to concrete efforts to ensure that every family has its own home as the natural environment that preserves it and makes it grow. In a special way, the Christian family is called upon to listen to the Apostles' recommendation, practice hospitality, 108, and therefore, imitating Christ's example and sharing in His love, to welcome the brother or sister in need. Whoever gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. 109. The social role of families is called upon to find expression also in the form of political intervention. Families should be the first to take steps to see that the laws and institutions of the state not only do not offend, but support and positively defend the rights and duties of the family, Along these lines, families should grow in awareness of being protagonists of what is known as family politics and assume responsibility for transforming society. Otherwise, families will be the first victims of the evils that they have done no more than note with indifference. The Second Vatican Council's appeal to go beyond an individualistic ethic therefore also holds good for the family as such. 110. Society at the service of the family. 45. Just as the intimate connection between the family and society demands that the family be opened up and participate in society and its development, so also it requires that society should never fail in its fundamental task of respecting and fostering the family. The family and society have complementary functions in defending and fostering the good of each and every human being. But society, more specifically the state, must recognize that the family is a society in its own original right. 111. And so society is under a grave obligation in its relations with the family to adhere to the principle of subsidiarity. By virtue of this principle, the state cannot and must not take away from families the functions that they can just as well perform on their own or in free associations. Instead, it must positively favor and encourage as far as possible responsible initiative by families, in the conviction that the good of the family is an indispensable and essential value of the civil community. The public authorities must do everything possible to ensure that families have all those aids, economic, social, educational, political, and cultural assistance that they need in order to face all their responsibilities in a human way. The Charter of Family Rights. 46. The ideal of mutual support and development between the family and society is often very seriously in conflict with the reality of their separation and even opposition. In fact, as was repeatedly denounced by the Synod, the situation experienced by many families in various countries is highly problematical, if not entirely negative. Institutions and laws unjustly ignore the inviolable rights of the family and of the human person, and society, far from putting itself at the service of the family, attacks it violently in its values and fundamental requirements. Thus the family, which in God's plan is the basic cell of society and is subject of rights and duties before the state or any other community, finds itself the victim of society, of the delays and slowness with which it acts, and even of its blatant injustice. For this reason, the Church openly and strongly defends the rights of the family against the intolerable usurpations of society and the state. In particular, the Synod Fathers mention the following rights of the family: the right to exist and progress as a family, that is to say, the right of every human being, even if he or she is poor, to found a family and to have adequate means to support it; the right to exercise its responsibility regarding the transmission of life and to educate children; family life; the right to the intimacy of conjugal and family life; the right to the stability of the bond and of the institution of marriage; the right to believe in and profess one's faith and to propagate it; the right to bring up children in accordance with the family's own traditions and religious and cultural values, with the necessary instruments, means, and institutions; the right, especially of the poor and the sick, to obtain physical, social, political, and economic security; the right to housing suitable for living family life in a proper way; the right to expression and to representation, either directly or through associations, before the economic, social, and cultural public authorities and lower authorities; the right to form associations with other families and institutions in order to fulfill the family's role suitably and expeditiously; the right to protect minors by adequate institutions and legislation from harmful drugs, pornography, alcoholism, etc.; the right to wholesome recreation of a kind that also fosters family values; the right of the elderly to a worthy life and a worthy death; the right to emigrate as a family in search of a better life. 112. Acceding to the Synod's explicit request, the Holy See will give prompt attention to studying these suggestions in depth and to the preparation of a Charter of Rights, of the family, to be presented to the quarters and authorities concerned. The Christian family's grace and responsibility. 47. The social role that belongs to every family pertains by a new and original right to the Christian family, which is based on the sacrament of marriage, by taking up the human reality of the love between husband and wife, in all its implications. The sacrament gives to Christian couples and parents a power and a commitment to live their vocation as lay people, and therefore to seek the kingdom of God by engaging in temporal affairs and by ordering them according to the plan of God. 113. The social and political role is included in the kingly mission of service, in which Christian couples share by virtue of the sacrament of marriage, and they receive both a command which they cannot ignore, and a grace which sustains and stimulates them. The Christian family is thus called upon to offer everyone a witness of generous and disinterested dedication to social matters, through a preferential option for the poor and disadvantaged, therefore advancing in its following of the Lord by special love for all the poor. It must have special concern for the hungry, the poor, the old, the sick, drug victims, and those who have no family. For a new international order. 48. In view of the worldwide dimension of various social questions nowadays, the family has seen its role with regard to the development of society extended in a completely new way. It now also involves cooperating for a new international order, since it is only in worldwide solidarity that the enormous and dramatic issues of world justice, the freedom of peoples, and the peace of humanity can be dealt with and solved. The spiritual communion between Christian families, rooted in a common faith and hope, and given life by love, constitutes an inner energy that generates, spreads, and develops justice, reconciliation, fraternity, and peace among human beings. Insofar as it is a small-scale church, the Christian family is called upon, like the large-scale church, to be a sign of unity for the world, and in this way, to exercise its prophetic role by bearing witness to the kingdom and peace of Christ, towards which the whole world is journeying. Christian families can do this through their educational activity, that is to say, by presenting to their children a model of life based on the values of truth, freedom, justice, and love, both through active and responsible involvement in the authentically human growth of society and its institutions, and by supporting in various ways the associations specifically devoted to international issues. 4. Sharing INTHELIFEAND mission OFTHE Church. The family, within the mystery of the Church. 49. Among the fundamental tasks of the Christian family is its ecclesial task. The family is placed at the service of the building up of the kingdom of God in history by participating in the life and mission of the Church. In order to understand better the foundations, the contents, and the characteristics of this participation, we must examine the many profound bonds linking the Church and the Christian family, and establishing the family as a church in miniature, Ecclesia Domestica. 114. In such a way that in its own way the family is a living image and historical representation of the mystery of the Church. It is, above all, the Church as mother that gives birth to, educates, and builds up the Christian family by putting into effect in its regard the saving mission which she has received from her Lord. By proclaiming the Word of God, the Church reveals to the Christian family its true identity, what it is, and should be according to the Lord's plan. By celebrating the sacraments, the Church enriches and strengthens the Christian family with the grace of Christ for its sanctification to the glory of the Father. By the continuous proclamation of the new commandment of love, the Church encourages and guides the Christian family to the service of love, so that it may imitate and relive the same self-giving and sacrificial love that the Lord Jesus has for the entire human race. In turn, the Christian family is grafted into the mystery of the Church to such a degree as to become a sharer, in its own way, in the saving mission proper to the Church by virtue of the sacrament. Christian married couples and parents, in their state and way of life, have their own special gift among the people of God. 115. For this reason they not only receive the love of Christ, and become a saved community, but they are also called upon to communicate Christ's love to their brethren, thus becoming a saving community. In this way, while the Christian family is a fruit and sign of the supernatural fecundity of the Church, it stands also as a symbol, witness, and participant of the Church's motherhood. 116. A specific and original ecclesial role. 50. The Christian family is called upon to take part actively and responsibly in the mission of the Church, in a way that is original and specific, by placing itself in what it is and what it does, as an intimate community of life and love at the service of the Church and of society. Since the Christian family is a community in which the relationships are renewed by Christ through faith and the sacraments, the families sharing in the Church's mission should follow a community pattern, the spouses together as a couple, the parents and children as a family, must live their service to the Church and to the world. They must be of one heart and soul, 117, in faith through the shared apostolic zeal that animates them, and through their shared commitment to works of service to the ecclesial and civil communities. The Christian family also builds up the kingdom of God in history through the everyday realities that concern and distinguish its state of life. It is thus in the love between husband and wife, and between the members of the family, a love lived out in all its extraordinary richness of values and demands, totality, oneness, fidelity, and fruitfulness. 118. That the Christian family's participation in the prophetic, priestly, and kingly mission of Jesus Christ and of His Church finds expression and realization. Therefore, love and life constitute the nucleus of the saving mission of the Christian family in the Church and for the Church. The Second Vatican Council recalls this fact when it writes, "Families will share their spiritual riches generously with other families too." Thus the Christian family, which springs from marriage, as a reflection of the loving covenant unite in Christ with the Church, and as a participation in that covenant will manifest to all people the Savior's living presence in the world and the genuine nature of the Church. This the family will do by the mutual love of the spouses, by their generous fruitfulness, their solidarity and faithfulness, and by the loving way in which all the members of the family work together. 119. Having laid the foundation of the participation of the Christian family in the Church's mission, it is now time to illustrate its substance in reference to Jesus Christ as prophet, priest, and king, three aspects of a single reality, by presenting the Christian family as 1. A believing and evangelizing community, 2. A community in dialogue with God, and 3. A community at the service of man. 1. The Christian family as a believing and evangelizing community. Faith as the discovery and admiring awareness of God's plan for the family. 51. As a sharer in the life and mission of the Church, which listens to the Word of God with reverence and proclaims it confidently. 120. The Christian family fulfills its prophetic role by welcoming and announcing the Word of God. It thus becomes more and more each day a believing and evangelizing community. Christian spouses and parents are required to offer the obedience of faith. 121. They are called upon to welcome the word of the Lord, which reveals to them the marvelous news, the good news of their conjugal and family life sanctified and made a source of sanctity by Christ Himself. Only in faith can they discover and admire with joyful gratitude the dignity to which God has deigned to raise marriage and the family, making them a sign and meeting place of the loving covenant between God and man, between Jesus Christ and His bride, the Church. The very preparation for Christian marriage is itself a journey of faith. It is a special opportunity for the engaged to rediscover and deepen the faith received in baptism and nourished by their Christian upbringing. In this way they come to recognize and freely accept their vocation to follow Christ and to serve the kingdom of God in the married state. The celebration of the sacrament of marriage is the basic moment of the faith of the couple. This sacrament, in essence, is the proclamation in the Church of the good news concerning married love, It is the Word of God that reveals and fulfills the wise and loving plan of God for the married couple, giving them a mysterious and real share in the very love with which God Himself loves humanity. Since the sacramental celebration of marriage is itself a proclamation of the Word of God, it must also be a profession of faith within and with the Church as a community of believers on the part of all those who in different ways participate in its celebration. This profession of faith demands that it be prolonged in the life of the married couple and of the family. God, who called the couple to marriage, continues to call them in marriage. 122. In and through the events, problems, difficulties, and circumstances of everyday life, God comes to them, revealing and presenting the concrete demands of their sharing in the love of Christ for His Church in the particular family, social, and ecclesial situation in which they find themselves. The discovery of and obedience to the plan of God on the part of the conjugal and family community must take place in togetherness, through the human experience of love between husband and wife, between parents and children, lived in the Spirit of Christ. Thus the little domestic church, like the greater church, needs to be constantly and intensely evangelized, hence its duty regarding permanent education in the faith. The Christian Family's Ministry of Evangelization. 52. To the extent in which the Christian family accepts the gospel and matures in faith, it becomes an evangelizing community. Let us listen again to Paul 6. The family, like the church, ought to be a place where the gospel is transmitted and from which the gospel radiates. In a family which is conscious of this mission, all the members evangelize and are evangelized. The parents not only communicate the gospel to their children, but from their children they can themselves receive the same gospel as deeply lived by them, and such a family becomes the evangelizer of many other families and of the neighborhood of which it forms part. 123. As the Synod repeated, taking up the appeal which I launched at Puebla, the future of evangelization depends in great part on the church of the home. 124. This apostolic mission of the family is rooted in baptism and receives from the grace of the sacrament of marriage new strength to transmit the faith, to sanctify and transform our present society according to God's plan. Particularly today, the Christian family has a special vocation to witness to the Paschal covenant of Christ by constantly radiating the joy of love and the certainty of the hope for which it must give an account. The Christian family loudly proclaims both the present virtues of the kingdom of God and the hope of a blessed life to come. 125. The absolute need for family catechesis emerges with particular force in certain situations that the Church unfortunately experiences in some places, in places where anti-religious legislation endeavors even to prevent education in the faith, and in places where widespread unbelief or invasive secularism makes real religious growth practically impossible. The Church of the home remains the one place where children and young people can receive an authentic catechesis. 126. Ecclesial service. 53. The ministry of evangelization carried out by Christian parents is original and irreplaceable. It assumes the characteristics typical of family life itself, which should be interwoven with love, simplicity, practicality, and daily witness. 127. The family must educate the children for life in such a way that each one may fully perform his or her role according to the vocation received from God. Indeed, the family that is open to transcendent values, that serves its brothers and sisters with joy, that fulfills its duties with generous fidelity, and is aware of its daily sharing in the mystery of the glorious cross of Christ, becomes the primary and most excellent seedbed of vocations to a life of consecration to the kingdom of God. The parents' ministry of evangelization and catechesis ought to play a part in their children's lives also during adolescence and youth, when the children, as often happens, challenge or even reject the Christian faith received in earlier years. Just as in the church the work of evangelization can never be separated from the sufferings of the apostle, so in the Christian family parents must face with courage and great interior serenity the difficulties that their ministry of evangelization sometimes encounters in their own children. It should not be forgotten that the service rendered by Christian spouses and parents to the gospel is essentially an ecclesial service. It has its place within the context of the whole church, as an evangelized and evangelizing community, insofar as the ministry of evangelization and catechesis of the church, of the home is rooted in and derives from the one mission of the church, and is ordained to the upbuilding of the one body of Christ. 128. It must remain an intimate communion, and collaborate responsibly with all the other evangelizing and catechetical activities present and at work in the ecclesial community at the diocesan and parochial levels, to preach the gospel to the whole creation. 54. Evangelization, urged on within by irrepressible missionary zeal, is characterized by a universality without boundaries. It is the response to Christ's explicit and unequivocal command, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation." 129. The Christian family's faith and evangelizing mission also possesses this Catholic missionary inspiration. The sacrament of marriage takes up and reproposes the task of defending and spreading the faith, a task that has its roots in baptism and confirmation, 130, and makes Christian married couples and parents witnesses of Christ to the end of the earth, 131, missionaries, in the true and proper sense of love and life. A form of missionary activity can be exercised even within the family. This happens when some member of the family does not have the faith or does not practice it with consistency. In such a case, the other members must give him or her a living witness of their own faith in order to encourage and support him or her along the path towards full acceptance of Christ the Savior. 132. Animated in its own inner life by missionary zeal, the church of the home is also called to be a luminous sign of the presence of Christ and of His love for those who are far away, for families who do not yet believe, and for those Christian families who no longer live in accordance with the faith that they once received. The Christian family is called to enlighten, by its example and its witness, those who seek the truth. 133. Just as at the dawn of Christianity Aquila and Priscilla were presented as a missionary couple, 134, so today the Church shows forth her perennial newness and fruitfulness by the presence of Christian couples and families who dedicate at least a part of their lives to working in missionary territories, proclaiming the gospel, and doing service to their fellow men in the love of Jesus Christ. Christian families offer a special contribution to the missionary cause of the Church by fostering missionary vocations among their sons and daughters, 135, and, more generally, by training their children from childhood to recognize God's love for all people. 136. 2. The Christian family as a community in dialogue with God. The Church's sanctuary in the home. 55. The proclamation of the gospel and its acceptance in faith reach their fullness in the celebration of the sacraments. The church, which is a believing and evangelizing community, is also a priestly people invested with the dignity and sharing in the power of Christ the High Priest of the new and eternal covenant. 137. The Christian family too is part of this priestly people, which is the church, by means of the sacrament of marriage, in which it is rooted, and from which it draws its nourishment. The Christian family is continuously vivified by the Lord Jesus, and called and engaged by Him, in a dialogue with God, through the sacraments, through the offering of one's life, and through prayer. This is the priestly role which the Christian family can, and ought to exercise in intimate communion with the whole church, through the daily realities of married and family life. In this way, the Christian family is called to be sanctified, and to sanctify the ecclesial community and the world. Marriage as a sacrament of mutual sanctification and an act of worship. 56. The sacrament of marriage is the specific source and original means of sanctification for Christian married couples and families, It takes up again and makes specific the sanctifying grace of baptism, by virtue of the mystery of the death and resurrection of Christ, of which the spouses are made part, in a new way by marriage. Conjugal love is purified and made holy. This love the Lord has judged worthy of special gifts, healing, perfecting, and exalting gifts of grace, and of charity. 138. The gift of Jesus Christ is not exhausted in the actual celebration of the sacrament of marriage, but rather accompanies the married couple throughout their lives. This fact is explicitly recalled by the Second Vatican Council, when it says that Jesus Christ abides with them so that, just as he loved the Church and handed himself over on her behalf, the spouses may love each other with perpetual fidelity through mutual self-bestowal. For this reason, Christian spouses have a special sacrament by which they are fortified and receive a kind of consecration in the duties and dignity of their state. By virtue of this sacrament, as spouses fulfill their conjugal and family obligations, they are penetrated with the Spirit of Christ, who fills their whole lives with faith, hope, and charity. Thus they increasingly advance towards their own perfection, as well as towards their mutual sanctification, and hence contribute jointly to the glory of God. 139. Christian spouses and parents are included in the universal call to sanctity. For them this call is specified by the sacrament they have celebrated, and is carried out concretely in the realities proper to their conjugal and family life. 140. This gives rise to the grace and requirement of an authentic and profound conjugal and family spirituality that draws its inspiration from the themes of creation, covenant, cross, resurrection, and sign, which were stressed more than once by the Synod. Christian marriage, like the other sacraments, whose purpose is to sanctify people, to build up the body of Christ, and finally, to give worship to God, 141, is in itself a liturgical action glorifying God in Jesus Christ and in the Church. By celebrating it, Christian spouses profess their gratitude to God for the sublime gift bestowed on them of being able to live in their married and family lives the very love of God for people, and that of the Lord Jesus for the Church, His bride. Just as husbands and wives receive from the sacrament the gift and responsibility of translating into daily living the sanctification bestowed on them, so the same sacrament confers on them the grace and moral obligation of transforming their whole lives into a spiritual sacrifice. 142. What the Council says of the laity applies also to Christian spouses and parents, especially with regard to the earthly and temporal realities that characterize their lives as worshippers leading holy lives. In every place, the laity consecrate the world itself to God. 143. Marriage and the Eucharist. 57. The Christian family sanctifying role is grounded in baptism, and has its highest expression in the Eucharist, to which Christian marriage is intimately connected. The Second Vatican Council drew attention to the unique relationship between the Eucharist and marriage by requesting that marriage normally be celebrated within the Mass. 144. To understand better and live more intensely the graces and responsibilities of Christian marriage and family life, it is altogether necessary to rediscover and strengthen this relationship. The Eucharist is the very source of Christian marriage. The Eucharistic sacrifice, in fact, represents Christ's covenant of love with the Church, sealed with His blood on the cross. 145. In this sacrifice of the new and eternal covenant, Christian spouses encounter the source from which their own marriage covenant flows, is interiorly structured and continuously renewed, as a representation of Christ's sacrifice of love for the Church. The Eucharist is a fountain of charity. In the Eucharistic gift of charity, the Christian family finds the foundation and soul of its communion and its mission. By partaking in the Eucharistic bread, the different members of the Christian family become one body, which reveals and shares in the wider unity of the Church, their sharing in the body of Christ, that is, given up, and in His blood, that is, shed, becomes an never-ending source of missionary and apostolic dynamism for the Christian family. the sacrament of conversion and reconciliation. 58. An essential and permanent part of the Christian family's sanctifying role consists in accepting the call to conversion that the gospel addresses to all Christians who do not always remain faithful to the newness of the baptism that constitutes them saints. The Christian family too is sometimes unfaithful to the law of baptismal grace and holiness proclaimed anew in the sacrament of marriage. Repentance and mutual pardon within the bosom of the Christian family, so much a part of daily life, receive their specific sacramental expression in Christian penance, in the encyclical Humanae Vitae. Paul VI wrote of married couples, and, if sin should still keep a hold over them, let them not be discouraged, but rather have recourse with humble perseverance to the mercy of God, which is abundantly poured forth in the sacrament of penance. 146. The celebration of this sacrament acquires special significance for family life, while they discover in faith that sin contradicts not only the covenant with God, but also the covenant between husband and wife, and the communion of the family. The married couple and the other members of the family are led to an encounter with God, who is rich in mercy. 147. Who bestows on them his love, which is more powerful than sin. 148. And who reconstructs and brings to perfection the marriage covenant and the family communion. Family prayer. 59. The Church prays for the Christian family and educates the family to live in generous accord with the priestly gift and role received from Christ the High Priest. In effect, the baptismal priesthood of the faithful exercised in the sacrament of marriage constitutes the basis of a priestly vocation and mission for the spouses and family, by which their daily lives are transformed into spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 149. This transformation is achieved not only by celebrating the Eucharist and the other sacraments and through offering themselves to the glory of God, but also through a life of prayer, through prayerful dialogue with the Father, through Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit. Family prayer has its own characteristic qualities. It is prayer offered in common, husband and wife together, parents and children together. Communion in prayer is both a consequence of and a requirement for the communion bestowed by the sacraments of baptism and matrimony. The words with which the Lord Jesus promises His presence can be applied to the members of the Christian family in a special way. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. 150. Family prayer has for its very own object family life itself, which in all its varying circumstances is seen as a call from God, and lived as a filial response to His call. Joys and sorrows, hopes and disappointments, births and birthday celebrations, wedding anniversaries of the parents, departures, separations, and homecomings, important and far-reaching decisions, the death of those who are dear, etc. All of these mark God's loving intervention in the family's history. They should be seen as suitable moments for thanksgiving, for petition, for trusting abandonment of the family into the hands of their common Father in heaven. The dignity and responsibility of the Christian family as the domestic church can be achieved only with God's unceasing aid, which will surely be granted if it is humbly and trustingly petitioned in prayer. Educators in prayer. 60. By reason of their dignity and mission, Christian parents have the specific responsibility of educating their children in prayer, introducing them to gradual discovery of the mystery of God and to personal dialogue with Him. It is particularly in the Christian family, enriched by the grace and the office of the sacrament of matrimony, that from the earliest years children should be taught, according to the faith received in baptism, to have a knowledge of God, to worship Him, and to love their neighbor. 151. The concrete example and living witness of parents is fundamental and irreplaceable in educating their children to pray. Only by praying together with their children can a father and mother exercising their royal priesthood penetrate the innermost depths of their children's hearts, and leave an impression that the future events in their lives will not be able to efface. Let us again listen to the appeal made by Paul VI to parents, mothers. Do you teach your children the Christian prayers? Do you prepare them, in conjunction with the priests, for the sacraments that they receive when they are young, confession, communion, and confirmation? Do you encourage them when they are sick to think of Christ's suffering to invoke the aid of the Blessed Virgin and the saints? Do you say the family rosary together? And you, fathers, do you pray with your children, with the whole domestic community, at least sometimes? Your example of honesty in thought and action, joined to some common prayer, is a lesson for life, an act of worship of singular value. In this way you bring peace to your homes, Pax Huic Dominui. Remember, it is thus that you build up the Church. 152. Liturgical Prayer and Private Prayer. 61. There exists a deep and vital bond between the prayer of the Church and the prayer of the individual faithful, as has been clearly reaffirmed by the Second Vatican Council. 153. An important purpose of the prayer of the domestic Church is to serve as the natural introduction for the children to the liturgical prayer of the whole Church, both in the sense of preparing for it and of extending it into personal, family, and social life. Hence the need for gradual participation by all the members of the Christian family in the celebration of the Eucharist, especially on Sundays and feast days, and of the other sacraments, particularly the sacraments of Christian initiation of the children. The directives of the Council opened up a new possibility for the Christian family when it listed the family among those groups to whom it recommends the recitation of the Divine Office in common. 154. Likewise, the Christian family will strive to celebrate at home, and in a way suited to the members, the times, and feasts of the liturgical year. As preparation for the worship celebrated in church, and as its prolongation, in the home, the Christian family makes use of private prayer, which presents a great variety of forms. While this variety testifies to the extraordinary richness with which the Spirit vivifies Christian prayer, it serves also to meet the various needs and life situations of those who turn to the Lord in prayer. Apart from morning and evening prayers, certain forms of prayer are to be expressly encouraged, following the indications of the Synod Fathers, such as reading and meditating on the Word of God, preparation for the reception of the sacraments, devotion and consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the various forms of veneration of the Blessed Virgin Mary, grace before and after meals, and observance of popular devotions. While respecting the freedom of the children of God, the Church has always proposed certain practices of piety to the faithful with particular solicitude and insistence. Among these should be mentioned the recitation of the Rosary, we now desire, as a continuation of the thought of our predecessors, to recommend strongly the recitation of the Family Rosary. There is no doubt that the Rosary should be considered as one of the best and most efficacious prayers in common that the Christian family is invited to recite. We like to think, and sincerely hope, that when the family gathering becomes a time of prayer, the Rosary is a frequent and favored manner of praying. 155. In this way, authentic devotion to Mary, which finds expression in sincere love and generous imitation of the Blessed Virgin's interior spiritual attitude, constitutes a special instrument for nourishing loving communion in the family and for developing conjugal and family spirituality. For she who is the mother of Christ and of the churches, in a special way the mother of Christian families, of domestic churches, prayer and life. 62. It should never be forgotten that prayer constitutes an essential part of Christian life, understood in its fullness and centrality. Indeed, prayer is an important part of our very humanity. It is the first expression of man's inner truth, the first condition for authentic freedom of spirit. 156. Far from being a form of escapism from everyday commitments, prayer constitutes the strongest incentive for the Christian family to assume and comply fully with all its responsibilities as the primary and fundamental cell of human society. Thus the Christian family's actual participation in the Church's life and mission is in direct proportion to the fidelity and intensity of the prayer with which it is united with the fruitful vine, that is Christ the Lord. 157. The fruitfulness of the Christian family in its specific service to human advancement, which of itself cannot but lead to the transformation of the world, derives from its living union with Christ, nourished by liturgy, by self-oblation, and by prayer. 158. 3. The Christian family. The new commandment of love. 63.